And in this corner, we have weighing 195 pounds, a Christian. And in the other corner, weighing 200 pounds, we have a different Christian. And let's watch them beat each other senseless. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. Let's talk about conflict on the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira, and we're talking about conflict, but we're not just going to talk about conflict today. We've been doing this series where each week we've been talking about how do we know a fake Christian from a real one? Just because someone calls themselves a Christian, are they really? And so often we just have a very vague notion of what Christian is, and if somebody tells us that they're a Christian, we believe them. You know, we let them self-label. And a lot of different people with a lot of different beliefs all use that term Christian. In fact, sometimes I don't even like to use the term anymore because it can almost be meaningless. It's been applied to so many things. But since we know the term originated in the Bible, how do we understand its definition? We should look to the Bible. See what the Bible says about who's a Christian and what a Christian is. Because just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean they actually are, according to the definition of the Bible. And so we've been trying to figure that out, because we might call ourselves a Christian and then feel pretty good and figure, well, I'm going to heaven. Why am I going to heaven? Well, I'm a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? Because I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm a Christian. Get dizzy doing that pretty quick. But do we have a clear idea of what the truth is about that term? And when we see someone else and they are Christian and then maybe they act a certain way and we go, wow, that wasn't very Christian. Well, maybe it's because they're not. They just use the term, they use the name, they've got the label slapped on themselves. But are they real? And in the first 2 weeks, we looked at things Jesus said about what somebody who was a true Christian was really like. And we saw him warn against those that actually are wolves in sheep clothing. And we looked at him talking about what their life will be like. And now this one gets down to something really, again, explicit, in that Jesus is clear. Some people think, oh, the Bible is very mysterious and there's a lot of different ways to interpret it. And that's generally not true most of the time. There are some difficult passages. There are a few that take maybe a little more work. But the Bible was written by regular guys who were led by God to write down what God wanted to say to regular people. And so it's not written mysteriously, it's written plainly. And especially if you read Jesus' teaching, he was just talking to regular people. In fact, a lot of the people he talked to were the poor, and so they weren't necessarily highly educated, and yet he didn't have any trouble communicating with them because he just spoke plainly. And so when we read it, and just read it plainly, actually can make a lot of sense. We might not agree with it, but we don't need to pass it through our secret decoder ring, because we can just read it. And this is a case today, and yet it might make us a little uncomfortable, or maybe it will just explain what we've seen. This is near Jesus's death. He hasn't been arrested yet, but it's coming close. And so he's kind of getting his disciples ready for the fact that he's not going to be around much longer. And he says in John 13:33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." In other words, he wasn't just packing up and heading out to the next town. He was going to die. And then he says this to them, kind of like, here's some last words early on. "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, that's pretty explicit. Now, there's a couple things that are here. The first one that's a little puzzling at first is when he says, a new command I give you, love one another. Because love one another is not new. I mean, it was something God had been saying for hundreds of years before that. Love your neighbor as yourself. But that wasn't the whole command. It's not just a new command I give you, love one another. It's love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In other words, the new command is love each other the way I have loved you. And he's talking about coming to earth, living with them, and dying for them. That was new. He hadn't done that before. But he came and he gave up himself, both giving up himself as God to live as man, and then giving up his life to die on the cross. He says, this is how you're supposed to love one another. And then he makes a very categorical, clear, no real wiggle room statement. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you're the real thing, if you love one another. And I don't know about you, but that's a tough one, and it's a clear one. He says, this is how you can tell. A lot of people will call themselves Christians. A lot of groups will call themselves Christians. And they do not love one another. Many of us have heard of the church called Westboro Baptist Church. And they have given, in a way, a lot of Christians a bad name. Because they go around and they protest and they say, God hates you because you're a sinner. And they protest soldiers and they protest homosexuality and they protest all these different things. And they talk about hate. Now, it is true that God hates sin. It is true that God hates our disobedience. That's in the Bible. What is not true is that God hates sinners. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. And one more step, here he says clearly, and here's what it means for you to be my disciple, you're going to love each other. Now you could say, well, he's just talking about Christians love other Christians. Okay, fine. Even if we restrict it there, which we can, the one another meaning other disciples, but man, how many times have we seen churches and Christians who are pretty hateful to other Christians? Well, I love you, I'm just not very happy with you. Well, 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a real clear biblical definition of what love means. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Well, that's a pretty clear expression of love. And so here Jesus says, here's how you'll know. Here's how you can tell if someone is really a Christian, or really a disciple, really someone who is following me. They will love each other. They will be patient and kind and not envy and not boast and not be proud and not dishonor others and not seek themselves and not be easily angered. Now, again, we're not talking about everybody sometimes messes up. We're not talking about when you lose your temper. I've lost my temper before, gotten frustrated. But what is the characteristic of your life? And what is the characteristic of others' lives? Because some people are just, they're just grouchy. Or they're kind of jerks. But then they call themselves Christians. And I've even been in churches where, man, you just better not step out of line because they're going to be rough on you. And again, I'm not talking about that we can't call out each other's bad behavior and say, listen, brother, you're messing up. I have had to be confronted before over bad attitudes, and my wife has had to say, you know, you're not doing well today. In fact, your attitude is wrong. And she's called me out. But she hasn't been rude. She's been patient and kind. She's not boasting. She's not being proud. And she's not dishonoring me. She might tell me something I don't want to hear. But that's still love. But if she was just harping on me, if she wasn't helping me with what I'm doing wrong, but instead condemning me for it and yelling at me, well, then that would be different. And so I think sometimes we've said, you know, we've looked at churches, we've looked at situations, and we've said, well, I want nothing to do with God because look how his people have acted. And yet you could argue, based on what Jesus said, well, maybe they weren't his people. Maybe your antipathy for his church is misdirected, because the people who were claiming to be his church, and they put a cross on the building and they called themselves a church, they weren't actually his people. I look at the people at Westboro, and I don't hate them. I don't appreciate what they're doing, but I don't hate them. I would love to sit down one-on-one if I thought that you could actually have a conversation that would work and just say, but what do you do with Jesus said different than what you're doing? And you can say, well, hey, this action or that action's a sin. But to say that the message is hate goes against what Jesus said would be the characteristic of his people. And you call yourself a Christian and you call yourselves a church, but you don't meet the definition that's in the Bible. The definition given by the very person whose name we claim, Christ. It's his name. I think we should use his definition. So if you've been wounded or hurt by people who don't meet the definition of love, maybe you should realize that maybe you don't need to be upset with Christians, because they were wearing a false label. And they weren't actually followers of Christ, because they're not fitting the definition that Christ gave for his followers. He's telling you, these aren't my people. This is how you'll know my people. They'll love each other. I'm sure they'll have their moments. My wife and I can have our moments, but my wife and I treat each other the right way. And the pattern of our lives is ones of love. And when you walk into the church, if it's really God's people, it doesn't mean that they'll never have a bad day. It doesn't mean they'll never struggle. But the pattern of their existence will be they love each other. And if you don't see that, you're not in a church. You're in a building with a cross on the outside, but you haven't found Jesus' people. And they may tell you things you don't want to hear about what is a sin and what isn't a sin, but they're going to do it in love. They're going to tell you the truth in love. So think about that today.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.